Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm Anthony Adragna. It's November 18th, and this is Politico Energy. And today...
FERC, FERC. I'm spelling FERC.
That's right. We're talking about the high drama in one of the government's most obscure agencies, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, also known as FERC. So Eric Wolf, people that are aware of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission don't tend to think of it as a particularly high drama place, but it's been nothing short of a soap opera over the last 2 weeks. Why don't we go back to the first development, which is the demotion of its previous chairman. Catch people up to speed on what they need to know.
The day after Election Day, apparently President Trump had time to change the chairman of the commission. The chairman at the time was a man named Neil Chatterjee. He is still a commissioner. He still serves on the commission. His term runs out next year. Chatterjee had tried to run the commission, sort of trying to work both sides of the road. He tried to please the fossil fuel generators with some arcane rules. But then at the same time, he has advanced a number of renewable causes.
Okay, so Chatterjee was appointed by Trump, yet once he was leading FERC, he was more flexible than what we've known the administration to be. Is that part of why he was removed from the top of the agency?
Yeah, much more recently is when we think the White House started to become more put out with him. But what we think really set them off was that he held a technical conference on carbon pricing. And then, in collaboration with Democrat Rich Glick, he issued a proposed policy statement that said, if a power market came to FERC with the idea of putting a carbon price into their markets, into their bidding system, FERC would be open to that. Now, anybody listening to this podcast is probably well aware that the Trump administration has never had a high view of climate science. This carbon policy statement may be the most aggressive climate policies across the entire Trump administration.
FERC.
One source says that they also think that a very flattering profile of Chatterjee in the Washington Examiner, calling him Trump's climate warrior, may have also done him in. Now we have to go down into the weeds, as I often do. Technically, the way you change the chairman of the commission is that the White House must send an official letter to the commission saying, I hereby designate Commissioner James Danley chairman of the commission. Chatterjee on Friday tells the Washington Post, look, I never saw that letter. All I got was an email from the White House personnel office saying that Danley is going to be the chairman.
So what is Chatterjee saying in response to this? Does he view this as punishment, or, you know, how does he view this demotion?
So there was an executive order canceling all sort of diversity training and awareness trainings and that sort of thing. And Chatterjee, he has said publicly, I should say, that maybe that was the reason that he got fired, in which case he's very defiant. Like, I will get fired. I would get fired for that reason again, if that's the case. My sources are skeptical that that's the real reason, even if it's true. You know, he appears to have sort of accepted his fate and gone on to, you know, he's going to be a commissioner. We will hear him say his piece on Thursday about whatever policies they're going to talk about.
And Eric, this isn't the only drama that's broken out at FERC in the past couple of weeks, right? What's going on with the new chairman, James Danley?
What also makes this very soap opera-ish is that even though we didn't quite know the results of the election on Wednesday or Thursday after Election Day when this happened, there was always a real chance that Danley was only going to be chairman for a couple months. But not to say that Danley is not going to flex his muscles where he can. As of Monday, he has officially broken 20 years of FERC tradition, and he will not hold a press availability after the open meeting on Thursday. In his statement, he said he sees FERC as an adjudicator and it is not appropriate to speak to the press. We basically get to read the decisions, and that's what we get, and hear whatever they decide to say in the open meetings, and that's all we get.
Just in terms of, you know, norms, why is it significant that he does not intend to speak to the press, and you know, how much is that going to curtail our insight into what's actually going on in the commission?
FERC decisions are incredibly technical and incredibly long. The chairman making themselves available to the press is a way for the chairman to speak to the industry and to speak to the regulated community and to say what the commission is trying to do, what its intentions are in sort of plain language. And also, a lot of industry groups feel like he won't talk to them. It's not universal. He does talk to these grid operators, but a lot of groups from all over the energy sector that work with FERC can't get to meet with him, or they get shunted off to staff, and they're pretty frustrated by that. They feel that it is a part of the commission's role is to meet with people and to talk.
There's a business meeting in the Senate Energy Committee with these two nominees, one Democrat, one Republican. What are the stakes if they are confirmed this year, and set up what happens if they're not?
Because of FERC's authority over the electric grid, there is a lot of potential there for reducing carbon emissions. The electric grid has been cleaning up for over a decade. It's no longer the biggest emitter in the country that goes to transportation, but there's a lot of stuff that they can do. So you have this regulatory body that can really matter for one of President-elect Biden's top priorities. And if the two nominees get confirmed, you would have a Republican majority on that body for at least a year, and then you lose one of the Republicans. And if the Republican Senate refuses to replace that person, FERC could be deadlocked for quite a while.
Also, clean energy and environmental groups have their eyes set on what they want to get out of Congress during the lame duck. In a letter yesterday, the groups asked congressional leaders to include an expansion of clean energy tax incentives in must-pass legislation due at the end of 2020. The groups also asked for the option that clean energy incentives can be received as direct payments instead of tax credits, which they say would allow for more clean energy companies to make use of them. Among the credits they're looking for are ones that would benefit wind and solar companies. In addition, the groups are looking for an extension of tax credits for electric vehicle infrastructure and the revival of a domestic clean energy manufacturing credit. The clean energy sector has suffered hundreds of thousands of job losses in 2020 and has received very little government support, even as it struggles to recover. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And check out the new season of our podcast, Global Translations, where we explore how the pandemic has exposed how fragile our supply chains are and America's reliance on other countries. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Just a few of my favorite FERC puns, speed round. FERC hard for the money, FERC yourself to the bone, all FERC and no play, FERCing out, FERC from home, FERCing class hero, FERCing my way back to you, babe. FERCing for the weekend FERC it out, nice FERC if you can get it, FERCaholic, clock FERC orange, patch FERC, FERCing hard or hardly FERCing, and my all-time favorite, FERC de soleil.
It's only human to want to build a better future for all. Chevron is working together with women and minority-owned businesses, spending $4 billion since 2014, because valuable ideas only come when you value everyone. Learn more at chevron.com.